QCC Richard Perno podcast.
And Luke Smith, financial planner at Envision Financial. How are you?
Hey,
you
well,
got through
well.
The storm. You got through the storms, okay?
It's a little fresh coming.
A little fresh too. Ash Barty has won the Sydney International over Kiki Bartons in three sets. First set was a tiebreaker, 6-7. And then Ashy came back, 6-4, 7-5. And that situation is still going on with emergency teams at the hub in Tyne Street. That structure fire. Luke, we're into winning streak. Now, last night's Powerball didn't go off. 80 million, okay?
We've got to go into work on Monday.
I'm not going to tell you what happened to me. Next week, it's a 100 million. Now, it could happen that you land that.
Yeah, you could.
Unlikely.
True.
But it could happen.
True.
When you come into that kind of windfall, you surely should pull back, take breath and say, now, how am I going to invest this money? Where do I put it?
Me personally, I'd have a red hot crack with 20% of it and then worry about the rest
later. Okay, let's shrink it all the way down. You come into a bit of inheritance, you get a little windfall, you get a cash jackpot or a bonus.
Yep.
You, rather than just going down to the street and blowing it, think about your future.
Yeah, look, I think it's always about assessing what are the options available to me, understanding them and making the most of your opportunity.
Yeah.
I think if we're talking about cash, inheritance, accumulated wealth, super contributions or any vehicle where you are accumulating an investable amount of money, there are obviously some key areas that people can invest that in. And a lot of them are ones that people know quite well. You know, you can buy direct property.
Yeah.
You can buy commercial property. You can buy a managed fund, which is just a pooling of a number of investments under one structure. Okay? Or you can buy a listed share. You can go out and buy Commonwealth Bank. You can go out and buy ANZ, Wesfarmers, QBE, and any other direct exposure to an individual corporation.
Luke, what would be the good amount, sum to start with if you're looking at investing?
Yeah, so then it really comes down to what you could use that money for and the entry points for some of those different options. So you can buy a listed share with, I think, a minimum of about $500.
$500?
Yeah.
Okay.
And obviously then depending on what you have will depend on how many shares you buy and what you try and gain an exposure to. In relation to a managed fund, you can generally start those with $1,000 and then build on those.
What's a managed fund?
So a managed fund is a structured investment that is effectively a pooling of assets in a specific sector that's taken care of by a product provider. So you would have an Australian equity fund with Colonial, Macquarie, MLC, NAB, and whoever the provider may be. And you can select an investment that will target a specific area. Australian equity, fixed interest, property, an international fund. So it's about trying to understand the vehicle that you want to use and then the area you want to try and target for your specific risk profile. So a listed share is just a direct exposure to one company. Then we can also take it a step further and say, let's look at using an exchange-traded fund or an ETF, which is a really cost-effective exposure to, again, a specific sector. So generally speaking, ETFs are a lot cheaper than managed funds. They are more passive than active managers.
Right, so they sit back a little?
Well, they'll generally replicate an index.
Okay,
so when we watch the news at night and it flashes up and says the ASX 200's up 12 points, 2 points, 9 points, that is the largest 200 companies in Australia. Mm. That is an index of those 200 businesses. Now, you could go out and buy an ETF that replicates that index.
Mm.
So an ETF is a passive structure or an index fund. They can also be called an index fund. It's another way of gaining a similar exposure where they will target the ASX 200. The ASX 100, the ASX 50, the ASX 20. So you can pick what you want to invest in, and there's generally an ETF or an index fund that will replicate that exposure. Okay? They are more passive, so they will replicate the index, and if the 200th company drops out and one moves in, they will replicate that physically, and you will have that. A managed fund can be what they call a little bit more active. Okay, so they may be trading a little bit more proactively to take advantage of pricing opportunities or market news, noise or mispricings at any one point in time.
But if you're going to buy shares, don't think you're going to be a millionaire overnight from shares.
No, look, not at all. I think it's really about trying to get a handle on your risk profile. And we're going to touch on some things that people can think about. But really, it's about trying to, again, as I say each week, start with why. Then work out your strategy, then work out your investment. Because the investment, in a way, is simply just the wheels on the car. If you don't know why you're doing it, you don't know where you're going to do it, you don't know what you're going to buy.
Yeah.
So it's about having some forethought and some planning and saying, okay, what am I trying to achieve and why am I doing this?
Right, so you think about what you want.
Yeah, why okay. am I going to do it, like yeah. anything? And then it's a case of saying, well, how can I do it? And how is the various products or investment opportunities that are available. Look, by default, a lot of people just go and buy a residential property because they may not know or be confident doing something else. So the default is, well, I'll just go and buy an investment property like the rest of my mates, and hopefully that'll go up over time.
Yeah. That's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Risk property is always risk-free, and it doubles every 10 years, evidently. So, yeah.
But once again, you're not going to roll over one night.
Don't hold me to that.
That's it. But you're not going to wake up the next morning and have $1 million in the bank,
look,
are you?
This is very much one of these things that is, it's the accumulation of assets over time, and it's about understanding what you hold, and more importantly, what you're comfortable to hold. Okay, so the markets are a little turbulent at the moment, and we've seen the Australian equity market off 10 or 11% in the last couple of months. Now, that could cause some people some concern. If you needed to cash everything out today, you should be concerned. However, if you're talking about 5, 10, 15, 20 years leading into or being in retirement, it's then about saying, well, how strong is my income stream? And if you've got a strong income stream with reoccurring dividends and distributions, and the share price of something's come off because of something like a Royal Commission, you need to look and say, okay, is what I'm holding at the moment going to go under?
Yeah, yeah.
And a Royal Commission's a good example. A lot of people are concerned about, you know, the behaviour of the banks, and you know, rightfully so. However, they continue to make very, very good profit numbers, and they continue to make very, very strong distributions. However, their share price could be off 10, 20, 25% over 2018.
Yeah.
So it's always about saying, why am I buying what I'm buying? What is it doing for me? And then having an appropriate time frame to be able to ride out short-term market fluctuations.
So does the old proverb, Luke, come in, then don't put all your eggs in one basket?
Look, 100%. Yeah. And this talks to diversification.
Yeah.
And we've touched on that in other shows. But it's really about understanding your risk profile. And I liken it to driving the car. If we're driving down the highway and the speed limit's 100 and you do 40, there's a few people out there that may be emotional, may hurl some abuse at you, and you're probably late getting wherever you're going. If we think about that as an analogy, we could think about that as cash and fixed interest.
Mm.
Okay, over time, it's not going to give us growth because that's not what it's designed to do. Similarly, if we did 160 kilometres an hour in a 100 zone, there's a fair chance we can't talk our way out of a ticket. If we hit a tree, we may not come back.
Mm.
And if we do get caught, there's a fair chance we'll lose our license. Now, that could be high-risk investment. Now, you may not need to be there either. But if you drove at 90, between 90 and 110...
Yeah. Safe zone.
Then you've avoided both issues at either end of the spectrum because they're actually both as dangerous as each other.
Yeah.
Not having growth is dangerous because you're not earning a lot of money, and if you've retired, you need good income and good dividends to fund pensions and lifestyle. If you have too much risk, you could have significant swings in volatility and cause you a lot of emotional stress and also capital stress because you could see something go 100,000, 200,000, 20,000 and anywhere in between. So understanding the speed at which you can drive at is effectively like what I'm saying is you need to understand your risk tolerance.
And should you also say to yourself, when do I want a return on this investment?
Well, and that's one of the things that we're going to talk about shortly in relation to what people should think about. There are a few key things that they should take into account when thinking about what I should buy and the volatility of what I'm buying, because they will directly impact how you feel and your expectations over time.
And Luke, should you borrow to invest?
Look, it's an option. It's like most things. It depends on your situation and what you're trying to achieve. Is it a means of being able to try and accelerate the growth of your portfolio? It could also accelerate the losses of a portfolio because nothing's immune to risk.
Mm.
So it's always about understanding, if I'm going to do it, what can I tolerate? What am I happy taking on board from a risk perspective?
Yeah.
And what sort of time frame am I working with?
Should I use a credit card? Take a couple of grand?
No, you wouldn't do that? No, we can't. That's when we come back to saying, okay, using offset accounts and redraw facilities that we've talked about in other shows on homes where you've saved well, or a margin lending structure is another way of getting access to geared money, but that comes with its own risks that we'll address in another program.
Yeah, so as much as possible, use what you have.
Look, I think, you know, and I think the key things people should think about are why you're doing it.
Mm.
Then also think about your time frame. Okay, how long do I expect to be invested for? If it's a short-term thing, then don't swing for the fence. Don't go crazy and don't expect huge changes. And if you do expect a huge change, expect an increased amount of volatility. People should also understand what they're buying. You know, are you buying an income-producing asset? Are you buying a growth-orientated asset? So understanding what you're buying and not just saying, well, I say to people sometimes, why have you got that? Oh, well, all the boys at work are gone. Oh, okay. Great. That's not exactly the best way to go.
No, it isn't.
You
know,
you wouldn't let someone else go to Woolworths then go grocery shopping for you. If you had an allergy, would
that's
you?
That's it. No, you certainly
so,
wouldn't.
So, you know, I think they're the things. And understand your risk profile.
That's
understand
it.
The speed at which you're happy to drive it.
Financial planner at Envision Financial. You can ring him now on 6255 1206. Keep in mind to book an appointment for him. And the first bid is free. Doesn't cost anything. No obligation. 6260 4749. Get your financial ducks in a line for 2019. A couple of quickies, Luke.
Yep.
Amazon, the marriage split will give one party $63
billion. I'd marry him for that.
No, I'm not going there. Do you have to? Do you have to be wealthy to invest?
No, not at all. As I've said in many of the shows we've had recently, I think people should do more sooner. And if that means you do a little bit less and have the benefit of time and compounding, the only changes to behaviour that are good behaviours are making active decisions to try and do something that's positive.
So start.
Do something, yeah.
Start.
But understand why and understand how.
Now, it's not going to be a smooth journey. You're going to have tsunamis, you're going to have dips and flows, ebbs, you're going to have volatility. Yep. How do you shield yourself
from
that?
Well, I think some of the strategies that you can look to try and employ are, obviously, initially, maybe take a partial position. So if you're looking to buy $5,000 or $10,000 of something, buy half. You know, we're seeing fairly significant swings both here and overseas on a daily and weekly basis.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy a particular asset or a fund, buy half of it and then just ride out some volatility and see what happens and then maybe buy on some weaker dips. Okay, so that's one way of spreading out the risk. You could also maintain a passive index, as we said earlier. So you could buy something that doesn't have huge amounts of volatility and have a diversified approach. Maybe go and buy a good balanced ETF. They're very cost effective and they're a very cheap way of getting a broad exposure if you're not entirely sure what you're actually getting into or you have the skill set or the time to spend, you know, looking into things. Another way to address these sorts of things is dollar cost averaging.
What's that?
So that means we put, let's say we want to buy $10,000 of an asset, we buy $5,000 and then we put the next $5,000 in every month over the next 12 months to average in the entry price. So that if the market rallies, we've got some skin in the game and we're making money and we're buying new allocations.
If it doesn't?
If the market dips, then we're buying more at a lower price and we're averaging in and we're building a position over time. Because you're never going to get the absolute bottom, you never get the absolute top, but it's about trying to buy things at an appropriate price that give you the income that you're looking for at a price that isn't obviously clearly overinflated.
Now comes the big one, Luke Smith. How do I get to sleep? How do I stop from crawling up the wall? How do I stop from running around in circles and picking up and going on Google and finding out how my shares are going? How do I keep my sanity?
Well, look, I think people need to buy things with strong income profiles. I think that's a good way to try and limit volatility because if you have a strong income from an asset and the capital price falls, the income will insulate you from a total negative return. I think you should know your limits. Okay, so I'd always say slowly, slowly over a boots and all attitude. It's very easy to drip feed into something, then jump in with everything you have and then have to back out for a reason because there would obviously be in and out costs.
Fees and charges.
Exactly right. Yeah. Obviously then talk about risk profile. Don't drive at 1,000 miles an hour. Don't take on more than you can handle from a risk perspective and don't buy something that may be appropriate for someone else's risk profile.
Mm.
Everybody feels differently about risk and that can be through experience, exposure or understanding. So buy something that's right for you but don't buy more than you could afford to lose.
Mm. Okay, that's so always a good rule.
If you're going to save, I generally say to people, if you want to invest, invest half of what you can save. That way then you're not cutting things too tight because poor investment choices and changes in cash flow can affect lifestyle and then people resent decisions and it impacts the longevity of what you do.
Talk fees and charges. I should be worrying about those too, shouldn't I?
Well,
providers.
You know, I think it's very much, that's very much the thing that is the underlying sort of secret benefit here.
Hmm.
You know, the acronym of the week is ICR. Okay, so ICR, we've talked about this previously, internal cost ratio. So that's the charge that the investment provider applies to your investment during the life of what you own. So if I buy a share, I don't have an ICR because you pay brokerage and you don't pay another ongoing holding fee. Mm. But if I buy the ABC Australian Equity Fund, they will charge a fee for the tax reporting, the investment knowledge, and the management of that. Now, people need to look at that. If your total portfolio has an ICR of more than 0.5 to 0.7, you're paying overs. And there are some providers out there that might start with A&M with P. That do charge between 1 and 2. I saw one the other day, 2.25%. So, you know...
That's a lot.
It is a lot when you think that you may hold an investment for 5 or 10 years.
Or more.
And they're taking that out on an annual basis on the capital value of what's in there.
Yeah.
So the more you save, the more you pay. And it's a very easy one to miss because you don't physically receive a bill for that. They take that charge out before a distribution is paid or earnings are applied.
So as the amount you've got grows, their amount grows too.
Well, their charge grows, exactly right. So, you know, if we look at that, if you've got a $50,000 investment, at 0.5, $250 over 10 years, that's $2,500 if you can save 0.5. So if you've got 1% charge internally and we can get it down to 0.5, you'll save $2,500. Now apply that to your super fund. A $500,000 super fund, if we can save 0.5 of the internal cost ratio. Now, we're not talking about performance. We're just talking about headline prices. If we can save 0.5, that's $2,500 a year or $25,000.
That's a lot of dough.
Over 10 years.
Yeah.
So I urge people, look at your internal cost ratio. Mm. If you want to know how to do it, Google or search on the net the investment that you hold and look for the ICR. The internal cost ratio, and it's publicised by all providers, and you can find it in any super fund, PDS or anything else. You want to make sure that you're not paying overs on that, because the compounded savings there could be used for additional contributions to
there
super and reduce the overall cost of your portfolio. And limit what it's really costing you.
If you'd like Luke to discuss on Canberra Live any other issue, let us know on 6255-1206 or drop us an email, luke@envisionfinancial.com.au, and we'll go through what you want to talk. And you can catch up with Luke and his team at 4452 Townsend Street, Phillip. Their number, as I say, the first half hour doesn't cost anything, no obligation, but make 2019 the year that you're going to get your financial ducks in a line on 6260-4749. 6260-4749. But if you're looking to invest, take it slowly, get advice from the team at Envision Financial, Luke and his team. 6260-4749. We'll catch up next
week. See you next week.
Attention car buyers, it's Canberra Toyota's massive four-day monster sale. All 2018 run-out models and demonstrators drastically reduced. 2018 Yaris Ascent, just 15 grand drive away. 2018 Corolla Ascent sedan, drastically reduced to 22 grand. Over 300 used cars heavily reduced. Plus, with every car sold, receive an iPad Air absolutely free. Our massive four-day monster sale on now and open Sunday. Only at Canberra Toyota, Phillip, Belcourt, Fishwick and Gungahlin.
Termites, they're on the move, and with summer coming, you'll see them flying around your home late afternoon. They're moving in. Remember, you breed them, I kill them. I'm John Holden. Regular inspections to your home will safeguard your property with our professional team. Don't be complacent. These little suckers mean business. Ask someone who's had them before. It's stressful. Call Three Rivers Pest Control to book an inspection today or for any other pest control needs. Spiders, ants, wasps or cockroaches. 6299-6665 or Google Three Rivers Pest Control, Canberra, Queanbeyan. Remember.
Mitchell Service Centre.
For over 20 years, they're a team you can trust. Mitchell Service Centre has been providing top quality service and mechanical workmanship to the Canberra community.
Mitchell Service Centre.
For full logbook servicing, new car servicing that won't void your warranty, to brake and clutch service and repairs using the latest technology and diagnostic equipment.
Mitchell Service Centre.
All about service.
Hoskin Street, Mitchell. Call 6242 7030 or online at mitchellservicecentre.com.au.
Capital Rubbish Removals. That pretty much spells it out. We remove rubbish. Our team has been servicing Canberra for over 20 years. We're here to help you.
General rubbish, garden waste, furniture, whole house lots, estate clear-outs, commercial, domestic, Capital Rubbish Removals. Free quotes and special prices for seniors. Just Google Capital Rubbish Removals or phone us on 6230 0449. That's 6230 0449. Capital Rubbish Removals.
As Australia's leading security company, MSS Security has unrivalled experience in guarding some of the nation's most high-profile sites. MSS Security provides guarding services for short, medium and long-term requirements, including VIP protection. Partner your business with Canberra's most experienced and trusted security services provider, MSS Security. They're there when you're not. Visit msssecurity.com.au today. MSS Security, Canberra's number one for security guarding services.
Summer news, views and entertainment.
Call for the summer.
Canberra turns to 1206.
2CC.
This news thanks to Discount Pharmacy Macquarie, Mitchell, Gowrie, Canberra, Belconnen and Amaru. From the Capital Radio Network.